everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on this Tuesday, June 27th, 2017. Hope the week is off to a good start for you. You can hear our program anywhere in the world, and we do have friends that listen anywhere in the world. Some of my friends in Australia, and on it goes. And it's www.buckmastershow.com. That's our website. Got our live streaming there. And kvoi.com also gets you the live stream. 790-2040 is our live line number. Let's begin right away with a newsmaker interview with Jim Cantrell. Jim is the co-founder and CEO of Vector Space Systems, a Tucson-based startup that plans to launch micro-satellites in space. Recently, Vector successfully launched a prototype of its Vector R rocket for the first time from a site near Mojave, California. Jim Cantrell is a former engineer with SpaceX. He's a good guy and he's a friend of our program. Jim, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Tell me, how important was this launch a month or so ago? Well, actually, it was the first week in May.
Yeah, so that was it was early May in the desert. It was already hot. It was a very key event for us because it did two things. Even though it didn't go to orbit, it showed that we were capable of building and launching a full-scale vehicle, that our technology was mature enough to get to that point. And second thing it did, it demonstrated to our investors who were in the process of looking at giving us our next round of money that we were really the guys that could do this sort of thing. So that event, I think, can be credited with pushing us over the top to get our next round of money in the door.
Where do you build a rocket?
We build it on 16th Street here.
In your backyard?
It's literally a converted a race car shop. That,
is it really?
Yeah, there's a lot in common between race cars and rockets, as it turns out.
And then you take it over to the test site in Mojave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got a 50-foot trailer that we pop the rocket in the back of and support equipment, and we took it down along with our launch rail into the Mojave. The worst part was the last 10 miles to the site. It's a very, very
dirt
primitive
road.
Site. Dirt would be kind, yeah. And it had
huge
all the rains.
Rut holes. Oh, there goes the rocket.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
Man-eating holes,
oh,
you know, and rattlesnakes and all that stuff.
This micro-satellite industry, would you consider yourselves kind of the pioneers in this? Or what's the scope of this industry?
Yeah, good question. So micro-satellites have been around for a long time. In fact, the very first satellites launched by the U.S. could be considered micro-satellites because our launch vehicles weren't powerful enough to put big stuff in orbit. Over time, those got bigger, and they got as big as, you know, literally the size of a house. Some of these spacecraft that are going up now into geostationary orbit are, you know, hundreds of kilowatts and are house size. Now, what's happened is the cell phone technology and other microelectronics have created a groundswell of change of what can be done with very, very small satellites, maybe the size of a loaf of bread or an HP printer. And so we aren't the pioneers of that, but what we are is we're the first people to think about how we respond directly to this game-changing technology that's hit us. It's much like the PCs, if you're old enough to remember when the PCs first hit. You know, we used to think, what does somebody want a PC in their home for? But that spawned a whole industry that is now really the norm. And what we are is on the forefront of allowing those to have frequent access to orbit, which is really the problem right now.
And you know, I interviewed a retired astronaut on the show yesterday, Colonel Pam Melroy. She was on three shuttle missions. And we're talking about the retirement of the shuttle. Like, now everything now is smaller and faster.
Yeah.
That's the future.
Yeah, so the big problem is that the industry right now is $100 million per mission, more even, takes years to develop. So there's a certain amount of conservatism that's attending to that. You know, if you spend a lot of money, people want to take less risk. So now that things can get smaller, you can actually, believe it or not, spend less money on it. For, say, $25,000, you can go buy the parts for a satellite and mail order them, literally, to your front door. So that's a dynamic change that allows more risk to be taken, which is the fundamental characteristic that we see change happening. So the other problem that that this industry needs is to be able to deploy it quickly. That's what's not happened, and that's where we come in, is to say, hey, okay, you guys can develop these quickly. Now we're going to be able to launch them quickly for you.
Let's go to our live line, 790-2040. Our friend Jim is on the line. Jim Kelly has a question for Jim Cantrell of Vector Space Systems. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Mr. Cantrell, I'm very excited about your business, and thank you for locating it in southern Arizona. How quickly are you going to be up and running with, in terms of your facility, your hiring, and just how many subcontractors are going to be employed in the southern Arizona area for this business?
Yeah, thanks for the question. It's a good one. I get it fairly often, as you can imagine. So right now we're just at the stage, we've been in business a year and a half, and we're running probably four times faster than most rocket companies. It usually takes, you know, 5 to 7 years to get your first rocket up. So we're moving quickly, but it's not as quickly as a lot of people hope. The good news is we're about to close a rather large investment round, which will be our next stage of growth. And we're literally doing that this week. We'll hopefully have an official announcement by the end of the week. Should be big news. And the factory itself is a slower process than building rockets, believe it or not. So that is rather independent of our growth. We're located in a facility right now of about 8,000 square feet, which is good enough for where we are. The reality is that the employee growth will be primarily over time. It's not a sudden jump of, hey, we're hiring 400 people. But over the next few weeks we'll be hiring 10, 20, 30 people, something like that. And as we reach a little more production early next year, we'll be hiring another chunk of mainly skilled manufacturing labor. And then once the factory starts actually going and our launch rates go from something like 3 a year to hundreds a year, then we're looking at the hundreds of people. So it's a slow growth over time, and we look to probably be at full scale by 2020, which is 2.5 years out.
Where will the launches take place?
So a lot of people wonder why we can't launch out of Tucson, and the reality is you're not able to launch over land like this into orbit, because it creates too much of a risk to the population on the ground from dropping boosters, exploding boosters, things
like that.
It's
got to be a remote location, right?
So we've got Florida, Cape Canaveral, where the shuttles used to launch. We've got a deal there and a launch site there. We have one in Georgia we're working on. In fact, in August, we're going to launch another one of these prototypes out of that launch site. And then we've got one in Alaska that allows us polar access. And then we're working on a couple of other launch sites around the world. We need probably 4 or 5 launch sites to reach our full operational capability.
So your headquarters would be by Worldview, by the airport?
Nearby, yes.
Near to Worldview.
Yeah.
So eventually, you said there's going to be an announcement this week. That's an investor group that's putting money into your organization. Is that what we can look for with
yes.
that announcement,
yes.
Jim?
Yes. It'll be a very large announcement.
Okay.
It's 100% certain at this point.
Good.
I'll wait till the press release comes out.
Okay.
But I can tell you they are world-class investors. And when you see the list of other companies that they've invested in, you all will know who they are, and they think we're one of them. So we were very flattered that they were interested in investing in us, and we couldn't have gotten a better group.
And it's a good chunk of change.
It's about $21 million.
Whoa. Very good news. So getting back, and I've only got about a minute, could we see a point where everybody kind of that can afford it, I guess, could have their own kind of microsatellite up there? Is that science fiction?
No, it's not. We have something we call Galactic Sky, which is exactly this idea, where we're actually building the satellites and launching them ourselves. That's the second part of our business plan, where people can generate apps like you would for a phone.
For your phone.
And you would upload it, and you're time-sharing the satellite, and you wouldn't necessarily know whether you're working on a computer network or a satellite network. It would be transparent to you. And we hold 9 patents on that technology, which many of them have already issued. And so we will control this basic technology into the future, which we think will be the architecture that everybody will use.
All right, Jim Cantrell, Vector Space Systems. We'll look for that big announcement, but he has revealed to us it is $21 million. A well-known investor group going to put some money in this local company. Jim, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors on this program. It's a great area. Jim, have you been over there to that part of the world?
Yes. Yeah, that's a lovely part.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's about 6,000 feet elevation, so the rains have already come over there, starting to green things up. And just with the elevation, you're going to get cooler weather.
Absolutely.
Which could use.
We could use. Yeah. Well, I'll take the rain.
Right. We could use the rain, certainly. Southwest New Mexico. Mexico.org is the starting point for your trip, 3-hour trip over to Silver City. Full listing of places to stay, and there's some really nice places in that area and the many recreation opportunities. Check it out. We'll be right back. It's 12:15. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, our summer Tucson International Airport air travel update, plus a newsmaker interview with Arizona's second highest elected official, Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcasts, and pretty much 6.5 years worth of our programs archived on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I can tell you we consult with Mr. Shelley Fishman on a weekly basis right at 12:20 with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. How are you, Mr. Fishman?
I am well and abashed.
We were talking about the forecast last week,
yeah,
weren't we?
Yeah, you know, I may be a certified financial planning professional, but I can't do basic math. So last week, I mistakenly said that the increase in the markets had been 20% from a year to date. And the truth is, it's 20% since the election, 10% year to date, or approximately 10%. You know, we started the year at around 20,000, we're up at around 22,000, so that's close enough for government work. But
so you were right about the number 20%, just not the time frame.
Yeah, you know, I can poke lots of fun at myself. But the important thing there is that the LPL forecast for the year was coming in at 6-9%. Mm-hmm. And I said that's going to be about a 10% reduction from the current levels. And that's wrong. It's you know, if the low end of that forecast is true, you know, we may see a 3-4% cutback. And that's LPL's usual pessimistic view. They tend to be, you know, ultra conservative. So, you know, do I think we're going to end the year much higher than we are today? I don't, but I don't think we're going to have a major pullback either.
And for those that don't know about LPL,
my broker dealer.
Your broker dealer. Good. All right. What about Brexit?
Okay. So when you were off in the
Pacific,
you know, enjoying gosh knows what, we had two professors from the university here, and we spent the entire hour talking about the EU and Brexit and the effects, the history of the EU and the effects of Brexit on the world economy, and certainly how the EU would be affected by Britain's leaving and how that might work out. And I kind of quipped at one point that I thought that there was some chance that the Brits would think twice about Brexit and maybe find a way to avoid having to do that.
You think that's a possibility?
And I did, and I do. Mm-hmm. And both of these professors looked at me like I was nuts because they're both from Germany originally, mm-hmm. and they're both fairly steeped in the rules of the EU and understand perfectly well that once you invoke something,
Article 5,
it's hard to kind of back off from there.
Right.
Now, the truth is, even though that was invoked, the new president of France has made it clear, and as did Schäuble, the German president of the EU, he said, look, you know, nothing has started yet. Maybe there's a way we can reconsider this. Now, they were saying that in the spirit of trying to back off from some of the hostile things that had been said both by Prime Minister
May
and also some of the EU ministers. But now what we're seeing is there are unforeseen difficulties in actually withdrawing Britain from the EU. And those are some things that nobody really thought about. For instance, the election in Britain did not turn out as Mrs. May wanted it to turn out. And in order to form a majority government, she had to ally herself with a very conservative party that is centered in Northern Ireland. Now, anybody who studied, you know, 20th century history knows that the tensions between the Northern Irish and the Republic of Ireland, those tensions went on for years and years and years. They were called the Troubles, and they were bloody. I mean, they were very, very nasty. And part of the way they were able to settle those problems with a treaty was because Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, and the UK were both in the EU, and they were able to eliminate the hard borders between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. That meant there were no checkpoints. It made it much more accessible, but also readily easy for those two populations to intermix with each other in a more normalized way. And for the past decade or so, that's been going on. If the UK is out of the EU, there will need to be a hard border, or some other thing will have to be negotiated. That's one of the problems. Another problem is we're beginning to find out that some of the hostilities between the French, especially François Hollande, and the Brits over where the financial capital of Europe would be, those things have kind of flipped on themselves. So what we're seeing now is the current finance minister is saying, well, tired of the fog, try a frog. If you don't want to be in London because London is
the center over to France,
come to Paris. And the Germans are saying, well, don't come to Paris, come to Frankfurt.
Right.
Well, to which the French say, well, when was the last time you ever booked a tour to Frankfurt? Paris is a much more interesting place to
be. What about the people who voted to leave the EU? How are they going to feel about that if they're suddenly they'll feel they've been double crossed?
Well, clearly there would need to be some sort of parliamentary adjustment that re-polled the Brits to see if in fact something other than a hard Brexit could happen. And that's not absolutely beyond the realm of reason. Now, why am I, as an investment person, really so concerned about this? Well, anytime you have an investment portfolio, you're looking at domestic stocks, you're looking at overseas stocks, you're looking at your trading partners to see where growth might occur and where shrinkage might occur. And so as you're building portfolios for clients, it's very important to keep in mind what might happen. For instance, and think about it in a non-emotional way. For instance, right after Brexit, we thought that the British economy would really slow down and things would, get to be very problematic. And lo and behold, that didn't happen. What happened was, yes, the pound fell, but because the pound fell, British exports became much more attractive, and so their export sector increased, and they actually kept on growing. Now, that growth has slowed down in the past 6 or 7 months. And they're actually, Britain, the UK is actually now growing more slowly than, of all places, Greece. So we're beginning to see the economic effects. It's possible that 100,000 finance sector jobs could leave London. 100,000 people working in the financial sector could leave London.
A huge hit to their financial stability.
Exactly. And having just come from London, or it feels like I was just there since a couple of months now, and I see the number of incompleted skyscrapers in the financial sector that are being built to not only house office space, but to also house population growth in that sector. You wonder about what the effects would be on a large city like London of that kind of dislocation. And, London is the heart of Britain. If you're living somewhere else, you don't necessarily think that, but it's vital to the British economy. So as an investor, keeping a sharp eye on what's going on in the EU and in the UK is critical to making decisions about how you balance your portfolio among the domestic stocks. And by the way, keep in mind also, there's almost no such thing as a domestic company anymore. They're all so multinational that you have to understand where those companies are doing business and which ones of them, may be UK-centric and others may be EU-centric or others, in emerging markets.
It's hard to tell. The line is blurred.
It's very blurry.
Many times between domestic and international.
And so one of my jobs in advising clients is being aware of all that stuff and discussing that with clients and getting their take on what they think might happen. In fact, I just heard today on the news the leader of the Scottish party that has massively pro-EU and voted that way, is now saying that, you know, she's not going to hold an election about Scotland leaving the UK until after some of the terms of the Brexit are better understood. But you don't have to push that too far to understand what she really means is, well, if the Brits kind of back, if the rest of the EU, of the UK kind of backs away from this whole thing, there the Scots means, will right. not have made a decision that they then can't back out of.
All right. Shelley Fishman would love to talk to any potential investors, or if you're one of Shelley's clients, you already know how to get a hold of him. But I'll tell you, one easy way is to go to my website.
Absolutely. And send me an email and I respond almost instantly.
You really do. Shelley Fishman, great rest of the week to you.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at givehopetucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Fuck. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. And if you're looking for anything regarding green plants, they've got really beautiful plants over there ready to go for, it's not that far away for the fall. So things are going to start to cool off. We're going to get some rain. So it's going to be a great opportunity to start thinking about when things finally start to get a little cooler here. And with the moisture, it will definitely help. Check out Green Things. And again, the website, greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Dr. George Hammond. Dr. Hammond is Director of Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona-based Eller College of Management. Dr. Hammond, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again. How is Tucson's economy faring through the first 6 months of the year?
Well, we had fairly strong job growth in 2016. Actually, that was our fastest job growth since 2012. We added about 4,700 net new jobs for 1.3% growth. But so we had a strong finish to the year, but it looks like things have slowed down a little bit so far in 2017, particularly through the first quarter. Job growth is down to about 1,700 over the year. So still growing, but it looks like we've taken a little bit of the breather, and I think we'll see growth pick up as we go through the rest of the year.
So there's softening. Would that be a proper way to term it? Certainly the first quarter, although we did add some jobs in that first quarter.
We did add jobs in the first quarter, about 1,700. So mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit of a slowdown in growth. I think overall in 2017, we'll probably see growth somewhere in the neighborhood, maybe a little bit slower than 2016, but still fairly solid gains.
What is driving the growth? What sector or sectors?
Well, we're seeing fairly strong job gains in tourism-related sectors like hotels, motels, restaurants, and bars. Healthcare continuing to grow fairly rapidly, and actually manufacturing, including the aerospace sector, has been adding jobs. And that's good news for the local economy because those jobs are relatively high paying. They pay in the neighborhood of $80,000 per year before benefits.
Yeah, and our lead interview today, the CEO of Vector Space Systems, had some very good news for Tucson and our listeners that this week, a large investment group who we could not name at this point, but did say the amount, $21 million will be infused to Vector, and that's going to be a huge economic shot in the arm.
Absolutely. Those manufacturing jobs and the relatively high wages that are associated with them are good news for the local economy.
What areas seem to be lagging some of our sectors?
We're seeing slower growth in, or job losses actually, in mining. Some of that is connected to low commodity prices and copper prices in particular. We're seeing job losses over the year in state and local government as well as trade. And those trade job losses are connected in part to the relatively strong value of the dollar versus the peso. We think that's reducing Mexican visitor spending locally and particularly the communities very close to the border. I also think that we're just seeing these structural changes in the retail trade sector, shift away from brick and mortar stores towards more and more online activity. That's happening nationwide and it's picking up steam, and we think that's also affecting the local economy.
I like to ask this question because there are probably a bunch of different answers to it about the future of shopping malls, because I know many people are curious. What is the future? Is there a future? And I keep seeing these statistics that one out of three, perhaps, of these brick and mortar shopping centers across the country could go out of business within 5 years. What do you see? How will they be repurposed? And that would be the way to survive, right?
Sure. I think we'll see more and more of that sort of repurposing. I think retail stores in general may look a little bit more like showrooms. Not so much where you go to actually get what you want, but where you go to figure out what you want, and then it gets delivered to your house. I think we'll see more of that. And I do think we'll see shopping malls get repurposed into mixed-use residential, commercial, office space. We're already seeing that happen with some rapidity nationwide. And I think we'll see it here locally as well.
Because I keep hearing this term Amazon proof. In other words, like a beauty salon or something that you can't get through Amazon or online. A place that, where that women would go to get their nails done or something like that.
Yeah. Sure, a service where you where you actually needed an interaction with somebody with some skills, somebody who can help you do something.
Exactly. How about the labor market itself? Have you noticed since the higher minimum wage went into effect, what effect has that had on Tucson, if any?
Well, we haven't seen much of an impact on low-wage sectors like the tourism-related sectors or even retail trade. But I think it will take time for the impacts that we'll see to emerge. You know, it would have been surprising had it happened on January 1st. I think those employment impacts and wage impacts will gradually emerge over time.
We're speaking with George Hammond. Dr. Hammond is the director of Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona-based Eller College of Management. So for the remaining 6 months, you think overall 2017 will be a pretty good year. Is that kind of the way you're seeing it?
Yeah, I think we'll do okay. Perhaps not as fast a pace as we saw in 2016, but I think we will see job growth. And I think we've got the potential to see somewhat stronger growth through 2018, 2019, especially if we see additional federal government spending on infrastructure and defense. And, you know, defense overall government activity is a very large part of the Tucson economy.
Over the last couple of weeks here, we've had two of the leading commercial real estate groups with us. We've had PICOR, the head of PICOR, on the show, and of course Tucson Realty, Hank Amos, was with us. Both PICOR and Tucson Realty, Dr. Hammond, are painting a really very bright picture for commercial real estate. They're very, very enthusiastic about what's been going on over the last 12 months.
Sure, good. And I think we'll see, you know, some significant job gains to help support that activity as we look forward over the next couple of years.
Is construction, are those construction jobs coming back, some of them, that we have lost over the last 5 years?
Yeah, we are seeing construction jobs statewide and here in Tucson gradually rise. We're not back to boom times. That's good. But we are seeing construction, both including residential activity, gradually build back to levels that we would that would look a little bit more normal to us here in Arizona.
And we did lose several hundred jobs in construction just last year, right?
Yeah, construction is a volatile sector. It's up and down, but I think we'll see those jobs come back over the next couple of years.
How do we compare with the national rate of job growth, Dr. Hammond?
Sure. Tucson's job growth was relatively rapid last year, at least compared to our own past history, at 1.3%. That was in the neighborhood of the national rate of 1.7%, but about half of Arizona's rate of 2.6. So we're growing, picking up some steam at least last year, but still a bit below the national and state rates.
And the national picture has looked real good with the stock market, and that certainly does translate. It trickles down, certainly, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of the economic activity in Arizona is based on providing goods and services nationally and even globally. So what's going on with U.S. economic growth, as long as the U.S. economy is growing, that really sets the stage for Tucson to continue to grow as well.
You mentioned Mexico spending could be down a bit. Is that because of the peso as well?
It is.
Not being as strong?
It is.
Very weak against the dollar, right?
Yes. Yeah. The dollar has been particularly strong against the peso, or the peso has been weak against the dollar. And when the peso is weak, that makes it more expensive for Mexican visitors to shop and visit Arizona.
All right. Dr. George Hammond, the director of Economic and Business Research Center at the UA College, Eller College of Management. Thank you, Dr. Hammond. Good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Good to see you.
Coming up now on 12:44 on The Buckmaster Show, we will have our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson will be with us right after this. Thank you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by the Fox Tucson Theater, the coolest venue in town to experience the hottest shows. The 4th of July, that's going to be a fun event. Crown Jewel of Downtown is enjoying a special free-to-the-public day of classic Looney Tunes cartoons, followed by Disney's 1967 classic film, The Jungle Book. Classic cartoons start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jungle Book starts at 2, then the second showing, 4 o'clock for the cartoons, The Jungle Book at 5. Then the Fox Theater Summer Musical Film Series includes some great classical musicals, Singing in the Rain, July 1st, Funny Face, July 7th, There's No Business Like Show Business on July the 15th and All That Jazz, August 26th. Some great performers coming to town, including Martina McBride, multiple Country Music Association Award winner. Then in August, by the way, she is coming on July 6th. In August, Winona and the Big Noise, August 13th. Go to foxtucson.com for more information and to purchase tickets. Dan Gibson is with us from Visit Tucson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Boy, I'm doing well. And Fox has really lined up some great play. Well, you know, it was originally a movie house, right?
Right. So it makes sense to have classic
films. It makes sense. A great place to see a movie. I remember some of those old signs, "It's cool inside," when people
it's the time of year to get to see a movie. This is good advice. Or a gallery, or a concert venue. Plenty of indoor options this time of year.
You got some good things for us?
I hope so. I'll do my best. Afterwards.
Go for it.
Here's my pro tip. Tucson Museum of Art is going through renovations, which is a good thing. New AC system, more space for they're updating their vault, a whole bunch of stuff. It's actually a huge project. July 9th is the last day to view current exhibitions before the main building closes on July 10th. It'll be closed basically until October.
Really?
The historic properties around there will still be open. They're still doing Cinema La Placida. There's still plenty going on at the Tucson Museum of Art. So they're not entirely closed for business, but the main building will be closed almost all the way through October. So I would say if you want to check out the museum, now would be an excellent time before July 9th. But still, go to their website, go to their Facebook. There's plenty to do, plenty to see in the area. And if you haven't seen the historic buildings like the Corbett House or Casa Cordova, those are absolutely worth checking out as well. Speaking of museums, MoCA is having their 20th birthday party on, that's a little bit ahead of time, but mark your calendars, July 29th. It is a 90s dance party and film screening. So that'll be an adventure in itself. They'll be showing some films in the Great Hall. There'll be art activities. You can get your photo taken with a Game Boy dance party. Mark the calendar, July 29th. You can find more at their website, mocha-tucson.org. Speaking of the Fox Tucson Theater, they have the Youth Arts Culture Summer Program, which has been running with Stories That Soar. They've been teaming up with the Lappin College Club. This Friday from 10 a.m. to noon, if you happen to be out and about, you can see the finale of their performances. It's a morning showcase. There'll be live performances, video presentations. Tucson Boys Chorus and the Tucson Jazz Institute will be playing. So if you've got Friday off, or if you can skip out of school or work or whatever, I believe it's actually free even. Go check that out at the beautiful Fox Tucson Theater. Back to the galleries. I'll make sure we give galleries love because they're such an important part of our art history here. The Contreras Gallery and Jewelry, they're on 6th Street, 110 East 6th Street. They have an exhibition that opens on July 1st. They're having a reception from 6 to 9 p.m. It is called simply Tucson. Great artists including Rand Carlson, Melo Dominguez, Leslie Hawes, Mano Sotelo. Great artists from across Tucson just reflecting on Tucson. So, what's not to enjoy about that? You can find out more about that on Facebook. Just look for Contreras Gallery.
And again, the Contreras Gallery is located where, Dan Gibson?
It is 110 East 6th Street. So they're having an event Saturday, 6 to 9 p.m. You can see it before everybody else. But the show runs all the way through July 29th. So if you've got plans or something, you can space it out.
And before you continue on, going back to the Tucson Museum of Art, this is really a big deal. It's a complete redo, isn't it, of really a whole exhibition philosophy that they're changing in many ways too, Dan Gibson.
Yeah, new entrances, new floors. They're expanding the museum store, the creative space. It'll create more gallery spaces for them to use. Mm-hmm. A lot of repairs. I mean, it is with the historic buildings that are around there. The Stevens Duffield House is getting repaired, which is where Cafe La Carte is. The courtyard is going to turn into an American West sculpture garden. It is a massive project, but it's really to bring, the idea is to bring it into the 21st century because, there's just a lot of work that needs to be done. So, I mean, it's really ambitious, which is impressive, and it'll be a great – it'll make it a better space for art in general, not just the what we think of, you know, the main galleries and the right. museum campus, but to enhance the whole – everything, really.
All right, continue on.
Okay, quite
sorry
right.
to interrupt you. Go ahead.
You're fine. It's, yeah. it's a conversation.
Of course.
It should be. Loft Cinema, speaking of renovations, actually, is redoing their main cinema space. So they're doing some more stuff outside. One of my favorite music movies of all time, Stop Making Sense, the late Jonathan Demme's documentary film about the Talking Heads, will be showing on Wednesday, July 5th. This is an amazing movie if you haven't seen it, David Byrne and company. It's the best concert film, I think, probably rivaling maybe The Last Waltz by Martin Scorsese. 7:30 to 9 p.m., it'll be outside.
Yeah,
outdoor screening out in the al fresco movie theater experience. And they're also doing a pre-show screening of a live Q&A with Jonathan Demme from the past. And it's a great movie, so absolutely worth checking out. Bring the kids. You know, nothing wrong with little rock and roll.
For the kiddos. I liked the Talking Heads. What happened to that group?
You know, just the standard sort of issues. Yeah. David Byrne, I think, is such a creative guy, wants to move on. He has a great record label. He's still doing solo albums, performance. He wrote a musical with Brian Eno about Imelda Marcos, if you ever have a chance, called, which is Something She Learns, Love, She Something Love. But it's a good listen. But David Byrne had an album with Brian Eno not that long ago. A lot of good stuff out there. Still
okay.
making good music. The rest of them broke off Talking Heads, some other things. So.
What else is going on?
Great question. I'm glad you asked. Estella De Rossi is a local artist. She has an exhibition that's at Womancraft, which is 388 South Stone. It is called Black, White, and Shades of Gray. It's a lot of incredible art. She's an artist, singer, songwriter, composer, all kinds of stuff. The painting, graphic media, they're doing an event on Saturday also from 7 to 10 p.m. Maybe you can make it a doubleheader mm-hmm. with the Contreras Gallery thing. They're not that far apart. If not, the gallery is open Wednesday through Saturday, 1 to 5 p.m. It's a, you know, the Womancraft, one of those, like a lot of these like smaller, funky galleries, worth supporting, checking out. Facebook's a good place for it. Just follow all of them. Just follow all of them on Facebook. You'll keep up. Or, of course, listen to the Arts Report here on the Buckmaster Show.
You know, summer used to be a time when virtually everything started to close down, but just by listening to you with so many things going on, that really isn't the case anymore, is it?
It is very much a 12-month city right now,
mm-hmm.
which is great. You know, I mean, as long as you sort of shift things a little bit later, you'll be okay. I think it's, you know, people embrace the heat and it changes the sort of atmosphere around here, but I don't think people are staying in town longer. They're, you know, they don't have as many sort of obstacles to having great events in the summer. And you look at, you know, obviously things like Three Alto and the Fox and Congress and TCC and all these places that are really programming stuff, MoCA programming stuff year round. There's no break anymore, which is a good thing. There's always something going on.
And European tourists, especially the Germans, love the heat, right?
They do.
They do.
It's kind of comical. We kind of thought we would have June and July off here
yeah.
for hosting journalists, but we've had journalists in. We've been doing everything. It doesn't stop, which is a good thing.
Yes, it is. Dan Gibson, always a pleasure from Visit Tucson. Thank you, Dan, for your support of our program. Thank you.
Of course, anytime.
Dan Gibson with us on the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. So much going on at the Fox. Let me run through a few of these events at the Crown Jewel of Downtown. Let's start with the 4th of July. Looney Tunes cartoons, followed by the classic film from 67, The Jungle Book. The cartoons start at 1, The Jungle Book at 2 on the 4th, and then there's a second showing at 4, and The Jungle Book begins at 5. Also, they're going to do some more of these family-friendly events, free-to-the-public film screenings this summer on Friday, July 14th from 9 to 10 a.m. Enjoy the classic cartoons, followed at 10 by the animated musical Sing. Saturday, August 12th, come to the Fox for a TEP 125th anniversary Chill Out Saturday event. That's going to be fun. 3 in the afternoon to 6:30 with the cartoons, followed by one of my favorite movies, South Pacific at 7:30 in the evening. So lots going on at the Fox, including Martina McBride on July 6th. So go to FoxTucson.com for more information and to purchase your tickets. Well, I want to tell you about some of our other fine local talk shows, including Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Mike's the host, and Ray Allen ably assists Mike in putting it all together. Then Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, here on KVOI tomorrow morning with Chris DeSimone. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. We'll be talking about air travel tomorrow. We'll have our Tucson International Airport summer air travel update among our highlights for you on tomorrow's show. So there's always a lot on the Buckmaster Show. We try to give you a very full hour, 60 minutes of content. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.